We're going to be hearing the program about that Jewish law, that terrible Jewish law. But let's start out in reading from the Word today on YahWeh.name. Micah chapter 4. Micah in the older scriptures, so-called older scriptures, and Micah chapter 4. Stephaniah is the speaker today, as I want to read Yahweh's word. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, and to the house of Yahweh, the mighty one of Yaakov or Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion. The law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. They shall not learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his fig, and under his vine, under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his Elohim, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our mighty one, forever and ever. In that day, saith Yahweh, will I assemble her that halteth, her that halts, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halts, or stumbles, I will make her that stumbles a remnant, and her that was cast far off, I'll make her a strong nation, and Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is there thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and thou shalt even go to Babylon, and thou shalt be delivered. There Yahweh shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. For they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither do they understand his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Sheaves are bundles of wheat, or different kinds of crops. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither do they understand that his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, to thresh or to harvest, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass. Now, this is symbolic language here. I'm not going to go into all of that. That's not the intent of the broadcast, but the law and the Sabbath will be the intent or the purpose. I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will set apart their gain unto Yahweh, and their substance I will set it apart unto Yahweh of the whole earth. I read from Micah chapter 4 in the older scriptures, one of the so-called minor prophets there. Actually, to me, even though it's only a few chapters long, it's a major prophet. Micah is a major book there, and there is 7 chapters is all, and so they're calling it assembled in their minor. But it's the word of Yahweh, isn't it? It's very powerful. I'm going to go to Matthew next, talking about the law, and let me repeat that in Micah 4, around verse 3, starting at the 2b, we shall walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people. So actually in verse 2 was the main scripture verse there I wanted to bring out there, Micah 4:2. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the mighty one of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So we're supposed to walk in Yahweh's paths. For the law, or the Torah, shall go forth of Zion. Oh, yes. I like that. Ezekiel 36:26 is another great chapter there about Yahweh's law. And he's going to write his laws on our heart. He's going to give us his spirit. And we will walk in Yahweh. And Matthew chapter 5 now, starting at exactly verse 17, not around, but exactly verse 17. Then we'll be going to Isaiah today, as well as 1 Samuel, Hebrews, the book of Amos, which, maybe we should hit Amos next, after this rendition here of Matthew. And I'm reading from the King James Version, for those of you wondering about that. King James there is a good, one of the best translations, if not the best, because it's from the original Antioch Scrolls. I do have to change a word or two. I take the liberty of doing that because someone has taken the liberty of putting in wrong words. They put in L-O-R-D, and look up the word Baal in your Strong's Concordance. Baal means Lord, L-O-R-D. Lord is not the title of our Heavenly Father, nor is it His name, but Yahweh is, Y-H-V-H, contained in the Tetragrammaton. Y-H-V-H is Yahweh's name, not a title, and certainly not L-O-R-D. But anyway, I don't need to go off teaching about the name right now, because the purpose of this broadcast is somewhat centered on the law there, as I mentioned. And I will, of course, try to veer off the subject. That's my nature, but I shouldn't be doing that, should I? No, we don't want to veer off the subject, but we want to concentrate on what Yahweh's word says. So he talks about the law there. Messiah talked about the law in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 right now, and okay, there we go. And what's he say? The Messiah is speaking here, and he's speaking to us. He's given us the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Blessed are they and the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yahweh. That doesn't mean that just everybody who speaks against war is saved necessarily, or is going to be, well, they can still be blessed even if they're not saved. They can be blessed. Yahweh blesses us. Here I am veering off the subject already. So what about the law, though? What did Messiah say about the law? We had a Jehovah's Witness walk in and say that the Sabbath was done away with. And now you can, you don't have to. He said he worshipped on every day of the week. And I says, well, but which day is the set apart day? And which days do you not go shopping? Which days do you not work? And of course, he wouldn't answer those truthfully. But even though he was a good man, other than that, Matthew 5:17, the Messiah said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law." So. The first word here in English, translated from Hebrew, is think. Think not. So we're not supposed to think that Messiah came to destroy the law. So that should set up our thinking there, our process about the law. So if you had any intentions that Messiah was trying to do away with the law, that Yahusha, the Messiah, was trying to do away with it, well, forget that, because he said to forget that I am come to destroy the law, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy. Okay, he repeated it. I haven't come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, what's that word, fulfilled? The witnesses were trying to make a thing out of that fulfill meant to do away with. And I said, well, just look up the usage of that same word, fulfill, in all of the other places. And there were about a dozen of them. And so one of the things that all things are fulfilled. Well, that means that everything is done away with. Another one was, our behavior is fulfilled. Our behavior is done away with. Our salvation is fulfilled. And one of those references in 2 Peter about things that have been fulfilled, if we use that consistently, the same interpretation of the word fulfilled, we come up with that there's nothing left. We don't even exist. Let's see if I can quickly find that word fulfilled. I don't think that I can quickly find it, so we're going to move on. But that reference is it's easy to find. 2 Peter is not a very long book. Let's see. No, sorry about that. I'm going to tie your time up there. Well, I thought I could easily find it, and I was wrong. I couldn't easily find it. So back to Matthew 5. I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. And then you look up that meaning of that word fulfill, which means that I've come to establish. I've come to carry out. I've come to satisfy. I've come to fill full. Hezekiah, the radio preacher, was bringing out that the word fulfill means, symbolically, it means to fill up something like a cup of water. If you fill up a cup of water all the way up there to the top or even to the brim or running over, you have not done away with the water. You know, the glass is full. It's not half full. It's not half empty. It's neither. It's full. It's not empty. Certainly not. And it's not done away with. So it's crazy to think that the law was done away with, because he just said he didn't come to destroy it. All right, you already know that. Here I am. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle or one yod, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth passing away. Now, it's hard to imagine heaven passing away. Although the heavens shall perish, there in 2 Peter 3, the earth shall perish. It's going to be restored someday what I believe, the near future. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So even if they're there, period. So I think this Jehovah person who came by, so-called Jehovah person, he would be called the least in the kingdom because he's teaching against what they consider to be the least of the commandments. In fact, they don't consider it to be a commandment at all. Which day was set apart? Well, Genesis tells us that the Sabbath was set apart. The seventh day. And so that's a given there. The Sabbath is the only day that was ever set apart. As a reference, in the newer scriptures, in the New Testament, so-called, we could look up Hebrews chapter 4. There therefore remains a rest to the people of Yahweh. Yes, and we could read on. And he spoke not of another day. This is the only day, the wonderful Sabbath day, whether it's raining outside, storming, thundering, I don't care, or sunshine. People seem to prefer the beauty of the sun, but without the rain, we'd never be blessed. Nothing could grow. Everything would be dark or black, which is not a, altogether a bad color, but I wouldn't go for dead. I wouldn't go for things being dead. Messiah said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we think of the scribes and Pharisees as being some sort of backslidden or unsaved or awful people. But their standards sometimes far surpass ours, especially those in the modern huge churches, these mega churches. And not speaking of each and every member, there's some better ones in there than I, I'll tell you that. At their heart, at least, even though they may not know as much as I do about the Sabbath or the law, sometimes their hearts are closer or stronger for Yahweh than mine, or maybe yours. I don't know. And then he goes on about the law here. But anyway, a wonderful chapter to study is Matthew chapter 5. But I want to move on to Isaiah and to these other scriptures, to Amos and so on. so on and so forth. Yeah, I want to move on, but you could read that whole chapter. That's a long chapter, about 49 verses of Matthew 5. I love it. Don't you love it? Excuse me. Amos 5:13, then. Okay. Amos 5:13, as we looked up and studied this earlier. What does it read here from my notes? Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Well, that's what I get for reading. That's my unmarked King James, but... Okay, what was the key idea here about the law? I don't see anything in that particular verse. Okay, now I've got my marked version, that my old version. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time coming. Evil times. How about verse 15? Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that Yahweh, the mighty one of hosts, will be gracious or favorable unto the remnant of Joseph. Read verse 18, or hear verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. You know, we tune in the Christian TV. When is the day of the Lord? They're always excited about prophecy, but woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. He says, I will not smell in your solemn assemblies, in verse 21. 23 says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, or the sound of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols, or violins, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness run down as a mighty stream. Verse 26, he talks about Moloch and Kayun, your images, the star of your God, the star of your Elohim, which you made to yourself. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity. The nations are scattered all around the world, aren't they? They're not just in Jerusalem anymore. They need to return when Yahweh causes them, not when man causes them to return. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith Yahweh, whose name is the Mighty One of Armies. The Mighty One of Hosts. And so that's... And Moloch, that word there in verse 26, can also be spelled in English Sikuth, S-I-K-K-U-T-H. It's another name for one of their gods. So we read from Amos. Then let's go to Isaiah 3. And what is happening with, you know, what's going on is the question these days, not only in the world view and political view, but what's going on spiritually? What's going on with our nations? Is it the end of the world? Well, certainly someday it is. Let's see here, Isaiah 3, verse 8. And in here we will hear about children. What is the status of most children these days? They're taking control. I'm not necessarily speaking of a 5-year-old, but maybe a 14-year-old has more authority these days than a 60-year-old man, the way our government is set up. But there's nothing I can do about it but cry about it, or I could laugh about it or just ignore what's going on in the government, couldn't I? I don't need to be overly concerned about what's going on around the world. I don't need to, you know, be obsessed with the world events. I should be aware of them and, you know, keep tabs. See how prophecy is being fulfilled here. Not being cynical and jaundiced and negative and paranoid about everything. Some say it's okay to be paranoid these days because that's kind of the standard, but just don't become overly paranoid. I sort of like that philosophy there. You can be paranoid, it's okay to do that, but just don't be overly paranoid. But what does Yahweh's word say? I'm coming up with a little Stephanyah's foolishness here, maybe, but What does Yahweh's word say? That's what really is exciting us these days. Where are we right now in the world and in Scripture? It tells us, Isaiah 3:8. Finally, I'm going to read it now. If you waited this long, you've been patient, thank you. For Jerusalem is ruined, or Yerushalayim is ruined, and Yehuda, or Judah, is fallen. We're not going to get hung up on Hebrew-English words. But Jerusalem, or Judah, is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against Yahweh. To provoke the eyes of his esteem, the show of their countenance witnesses against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. That reminds me of the elections here in the last 18 years or 20 years or so. People running for office, especially in the liberal side, their platform has been on sexual freedom. If I were a woman, could I have an abortion for convenience sake, so I could have more pleasure and not worry about the children, not worry about having to care for them? Can I have relations with anybody? Is Yahweh or anybody allowed to dictate my behavior in the bedrooms? So they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. But they'll even put up signs on their houses and their doors. In the rest homes, I saw a sign. A old dying woman had a sign up there that she was for this great political liberal politician that gave us sexual freedom. I thought, well, what does she need sexual freedom for? She's on her deathbed. She doesn't need sexual freedom to be liberated from the law of Yahweh or from some person in the pulpit. Why would she be concerned about sex freedom? That's just the way she'd come to believe after so many years of watching television, the media, and all. So much for my remarks about the poor old woman up there. She's long gone now anyway, so why worry about her? Well, that just goes to show you, though, the what's happening here in our days with the mindset of people, our attitudes. We just don't seem to care. Verse 10, Isaiah 3:10, say you to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Verse 11, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill, I-L-L, it should be bad or ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given to him. As for my people, that's, Yahweh's children, whether they be Israelites, spiritual Israelites, physical, whatever, or Jews, as for my people, what happens with my people? Children are their oppressors. That's right, the government is being thrown into the hands of the children. That's where the authority is coming from all the wrong places, not from people like, mature people like yourself. Unless you are a 13-year-old child who's studying the Word today, then praise Yahweh, then you need to be an authority. There's good children and there's bad ones. If you're a good one, you're not going to go around oppressing people. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Women, like Hillary. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. For Yahweh stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. Yahweh will enter into his judgment with the ancients of the people and the princes thereof. For you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean, that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith Yahweh, the Yahweh of the armies? Moreover, Yahweh said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y, the daughters are, they're too proud. In my town where I live on the West Coast, Stephanie, on the West Coast here, I see that haughtiness, that pride everywhere. You can hardly say hi to a person anywhere without getting a sneer back of arrogancy and pride. And, well, what can you do about it? You can't do anything about it. Well, you could share what Yahweh's given you. I'll certainly do that. What do you mean that you beat my people to pieces? The daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with stretched forth necks, or, you know, arrogant way up there, you know, up there. So your voice practically gets strangled if you get your head up too high. And stretch forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet, or stomping noise. Therefore, Yahweh will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Yahweh will discover their secret parts. He's going to reveal our nakedness. In that day, Yahweh will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls or headbands, and their round tires like the moon. The chains, the bracelets, and the mufflers, the veils, in other words, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs, and the head, and the tablets, and the earrings, and rings, nose jewels, and changeable suits of apparel, the mantles, the wimples, and the crisping pins. Well, am I getting too negative, or what? More about the law here. Let's read on now, chapter 5, verse 24. Seemed like I already covered that earlier, but no, I didn't. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, 5:24 Isaiah, as the fire devours the stubble and a flame consumes the chaff referring to the useless part of the crop that you want to get rid of, you don't need that part, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. You know, the fruit shall be fruitless, in vain. Their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the Torah of Yahweh, of hosts. The law, in the King James here, law of Yahweh of hosts, and despise the word of the separated one of Yisrael. I don't use that word holy if you read the other files here in Yahweh Yahweh. Holy comes from a pagan word, H-O-L-I, H-O-L-I. Somebody can argue, well, no, it doesn't. And then I could argue, yes, it does. And they could say, no, it doesn't, you know. But yelling at each other, standing there without looking up the reference, which is our proof, doesn't do anybody any good. If we don't look up our references and proof, and there's 300 proofs in Dr. Koster's material there, that holy is a bad word, and that we really shouldn't use it. But, what does truth mean anyway? It's trampled in the streets. Nobody cares about truth. Well, almost nobody. Almost, how is that? Almost everyone. Hardly anybody believes in the truth. Well, you do, so that's good. Isaiah 13:11, speaking of haughtiness and arrogancy and pride during a time of unleavened bread, Passover, we certainly don't need to be thinking about, or we don't need to be arrogant and proud and haughty and... But it says, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. So he's going to punish the wicked for their iniquity or law breaking. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I'm sorry if you don't know what that word haughty means, but it just means proud and arrogant. It all means pretty much the same thing. Thank you for the couple of letters here. And well, we're in email letters. I only get a couple a year, and most of them are negative. We have one positive one, but Isaiah 7, speaking of our Messiah, we're 30 minutes into the broadcast approximately, and I guess we'll go an hour. If you can download that, if it's easy enough for you. Eventually I'll get to compress and make these files more concise. So just get the skim the cream off the top of the of this offering here. Isaiah 7:14 speaks of the answer. What is the answer to all these problems? The bracelets, the ornaments, the cowls, the tires, the images, the tattoos, people, the media, the garbage. You know, they don't bother to wash out their teeth in the morning with a little toothpaste. What? Okay, Isaiah 7. What's wrong with toothpaste? Well, I guess it should be kosher, and we should have a clean taste in our mouth. Isaiah 7:14, therefore Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, we speak of Miriam here, the former virgin, the mother of Yahusha the Messiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and beat, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, or Yahweh with us. Butter and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Well, of course he knew it. He's Yahweh himself, incarnate in the Son, in Yahusha. The Father, his Son, the Messiah, came to set us free from our evil actions, from breaking his law. So that's Isaiah. For behold, the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken for both her kings. You could read on and on there in Isaiah chapter 7 about the Messiah and about Assyria, I think sometimes applies to us. King of Assyria, rather, is Ephraim, which certainly applies to us. The evil, compromising nation of and tribe of Ephraim. Yahweh help us. Then turn forward to two chapters to about the Messiah, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father. Maybe I went too fast. His name shall be called, and then there's these titles here. Wonderful. Oh, we should have looked up that word wonderful. I didn't do that, but what else could that word mean? Beautiful. Esteemable, adorable, magnificent, beautiful, beautiful, yeah. For under us, his name shall be Wonderful. People ask, how am I? And people respond with, I'm wonderful. No, we're not wonderful. Not without Messiah, we're not anyway. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father. So the Messiah is Wonderful Counselor. He shall be called the Mighty Yahweh, or G-O-D here it says in the King James, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What about the law then? We were talking about here in this broadcast of the increase of his government. So without laws, there wouldn't be a government. So he's going to have law consistently and eternally. It's one standard. Those laws don't need to be done away with when we 10 million years from now, because even though there's no sin in the camp, but they are his standards. Why would he do away with any of the laws? There's no reason to do away with it. I don't have a problem with any of his laws. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with right ruling. Some people have a problem there with the word justice. So right ruling from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Yahweh of armies will perform this. Yahweh sent a word into Jacob, and it has lit upon Israel. All the people shall know, even Ephraim, that's us, that's most of us, rebellious, formerly rebellious, and the inhabitant of Samaria, they say in the pride and stoutness of heart. No, they don't say that. The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stories. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. So much for my eyesight. Would you stop that? I don't need an orchestra here. Okay. Wonderful computers, aren't they? Thank you, Mr. Gates, for putting those silly sounds in there. I don't have time to deal with that. 1 Samuel 15:23 and 2 Samuel chapter 7. And no more entertainment in the background for right now, please. So, let's see. After Judges is 1 Samuel chapter 15. Some of you are scholars, and I know I'm going way over your head, right? Well, at least I can read the scripture here, but Samuel here talking. In 22, Samuel said, has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than offering, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft, pharmakia, sorcery, drugs. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected thee from being king. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. My wife has highlighted, my poor wife passed away recently, highlighted verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may praise Yahweh, thy mighty one. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul praised Yahweh. 2 Samuel chapter 7. If I can pick this up. 2 Samuel. And I'm there, but... okay, in the unmarked version. Okay, well, I have to start there at verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith Yahweh of armies, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersome, wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. So I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused them to rest from all enemies, also Yahweh tells them that he will make thee a house. And verse 13, he will build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits lawlessness, I will chasten him with a rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Your throne shall be established forever. And we already read the Amos scripture there. And then regarding the law, I have already read Matthew chapter 5. Not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled or made full. So right now we need to take a quick break. Then we'll go to part 2 of this. We are 37 minutes into the broadcast, and the title is That Jewish Law. And my email is stephanyah@yahweh.name. That's Stephanyah, Stephanyah, that's Stephan. Think of Stephen, but spelled properly to turn the letters back around. Stephan, Yah, at Yahweh, that's Yahvah, Yahweh. Yahweh, that's Yahweh, dot name, name. And certainly be appreciated if you would leave me some comments. And you could add to the dozen or so, or half a dozen or so comments I receive each year, even though there's probably several thousand people who listen to this ministry, or read the different texts that I have up on the website, but they're all negative except for one. Oh, I didn't read that one or two. I'm getting a positive response there generally from a man in India. And if I could, I'd like to at least try to spell the name, if not try to pronounce it. R-A-G-H-U-N-A-D-H, Raghunda. Raghunda, or something like, and I'm sorry, I've lived on the west coast of America all my life. I don't know how to pronounce other names from other countries very well. But Raghunda. Shalom, he says, in the name of, and he's using the Shua there, because he doesn't believe that Yahusha should be the correct name. And in the name of Yahshua, the Messiah, J.V. Raghunu from India. And it says, the whole plan of Yava. Now here he's using the V. The whole plan of Yava from Adam to the Messiah, I'll say. The second coming concerns the salvation of mankind. Right from creation, Yava's plan was put into effect. And man will simply believe and follow it. I think he means if man will simply believe and follow it, he will find salvation. And then this gentleman, J.V. or J.V.R., asks that we pray for him. He says, pray for me for the work of Yava, and that people may accept the truth in his name and reject all the blasphemous names they used to have, such as Jesus. Kindly pray also that, and then he's as Yahweh, kindly pray also that Yahweh may our need in spreading his truth. In other words, kindly pray that Yahweh will supply the need in spreading his truth, supply the resources in his truth. So we lift up Raghunu from India, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. We lift him up in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach, the Savior. And we pray that you'd use this gentleman from India to spread your truth and be a light, to spread the word and to publish and to broadcast if possible, to share with others, to email, to blog, however, to leave notes in bathrooms or wherever, or in restaurants, in people's houses, leave notes, send letters to others by mail, that Yahweh is the only way, the truth and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except by Yahushua the Messiah, and that Yahushua the Messiah died for us on the tree at Calvary approximately 2,000 years ago, and that he's coming back quickly. He's coming to return to his people and redeem Yisrael, to redeem Ephraim, the apostasy in Ephraim, all of us women and men who have walked wayward and we are raised improperly, somewhat improperly here by our well-meaning parents, but we've had all these silly customs and traditions, these witchcraft and sorceries and pharmakia pushed down our throats and into our heads, into our minds. And may Yahusha free us from that, all that Babylonian garbage, all that gunch and grunge and a computer term there, but all the stuff, all the vain traditions of man, and do away with all that. By Yahweh's stripes, we can be healed in the name of Yahusha, and we can cast out the demon in our life and our families and our surrounding and all of our domain. Cast out HaSatan, the devil. Cast him out in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. We lift up the gentleman there in India and pray, Yahusha, that you would free him from any other possible problems that he might have. In not understanding the word, or in some sin in his life, or any pride or temptation that he's fallen into, and help him to be free from all of that. And where he's desired to serve you, and then he's failed perhaps in this area or that, we pray that you'd give him your Ruach HaKadosh, the power to be able to do your will, Yahweh, to succeed. And we just lift up Raghunu in India, and we pray, Yahweh, that you just send him encouragement and blessing, and send your heavenly messengers and to assist him. Send those sisters and brethren who are in Yahusha to encourage him, not just people from some other religion that are kind of close to what he believes, but Yahweh, your saints, your servants, your believers, oh, let them encourage him and feed him. Let them help him financially and in every way, Yahweh, to do your will and to enjoy being a believer and Messiah. Enjoy being on this earth for now. Oh, Yahweh, thank you for your plan of salvation, that we can share with others the truth, the clean, clear, unadulterated word of Yahweh. Yes, the unperverted Word, the pure scriptures, direct from the Antioch Scrolls to us, that you put those people who were martyred for publishing the word, you put it in their hearts and minds and in their pens, the ink there to write these words for us. And it's true. Evolution is a lie. And we pray, Yahweh, that you'd come against all the unseen forces out there, and those who are trying to help HaSatan, the devil, those who are trying to help Satan, and come against them and break the yoke of bondage in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. And that you'd free us from any other errors. And don't let us compromise with the enemy, with different people, different religions. And just because there's not enough of us around, of like-minded believers, that we'd fall prone to having an ecumenical false spirit with those that in other churches that just, you know, they don't want to really hit the point. They don't want to quite be under the law of Yahweh. They don't want to be in His law, under it, around it, or anything. They don't want anything to do with your law. And so, in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless us, bless them who wish to bless you and be faithful to your word, and who've sacrificed their homes, their property, their resources, their lives, their esteem, their character for you. They have allowed others to insult them, and yet they move on in the name of Yahusha Messiah. Bless us today, we pray. Thank you for your many blessings that you've already given us, the blessings of creation, of fellowship with one another, the beautiful people in Yahweh's name. I'm looking at a bride here on my computer, a bride decked out so beautifully. She's a girl from the 1950s, probably. A beautiful, set-apart looking woman. And she's a relative of ours, I guess. And may we all be as pure and innocent looking. May we be innocent in Yahweh's kingdom, dear Heavenly Father, and not be guilty and have to hide things, have secret little plans here and there, or secret mail where perhaps you're hiding from a spouse. We don't want to hide information from our husband or wife. We want to be able to be transparent. Don't let them attack us if they find out. You know, well, I had this old friend from school, and he or she used to like me or love me. Don't let them attack us for that. But we don't want to have affinity or close relationship other than just a small friendship. We want to have friendship with all kinds of people. Our former friends, those who were not saved, we would still have friendship with people around us. Prepare us, Yahweh, every day in our physical life to be able to get up and do the exercises needed, to drink all that water, the 2 liters of water a day, to get the rest, get to bed by 9:30 p.m., if at all possible, to eat the right foods and shun all the GMOs and shun the garbage that they try to cram down us in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. And may this be a time of prayer in our hearts as Passover is coming. Perhaps you're listening to the broadcast, folks, and you've already passed up the Passover season, but unleavened bread season. But in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach, Heavenly Father, thank you in advance for the work that's going to be done in your name, by your power, by your spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, in Yahusha's name, Hallelujah. Stephan Yah here, going into the part two of the broadcast here in a moment. You'll need to click on it. We're already up to about 8 megs or so on the file, but just want to let you know when we're going to be keeping Passover and unleavened bread. I'd like to put the announcements here at the end, not at the beginning. I don't want to put people to sleep too soon, but Passover for us, according to our reckoning, is, let's see here, the 14th of Aviv. That's correct. Every time it says, according to Scripture in Leviticus 23, Aviv 14 at the beginning of the day, not at the end. And so that should be on the pagan calendar at the end of the, I'm not going to use the pagan word, A-P-R-I-L, or April, but at the end of the 4-5-2012, 4-5-2012, at the end of that date of the 5th, which is also the 5th day of the week, coincidentally, at sunset, which is for us is going to happen around 6:46 p.m. on 4-5-2012. We'll have a Passover service, a foot washing, a service, reading John 5 and so on, all those scriptures. And then unleavened bread, as we reckon it anyway, begins the next evening with a high day, going into the 15th of Aviv. The following evening, the 15th of Aviv, which is on the pagan calendar, is 4-6-2012. At the end of that day begins the high day. Then the Sabbath will be a double Sabbath. Now, some believers postpone because they don't want to have two Sabbaths on the same day. They don't need to have a double Sabbath. But I don't see anywhere in Scripture. That's kind of a secret priest law that they have, and we don't go along with that. But 4/5/2012 begins the Passover. 4/6/2012, and that evening begins, going into the Sabbath, begins the first high day, with the last high day being 4/13, to the very end of that day, around 7:57 p.m. in our Western Hemisphere here, in our particular longitude. No, latitude. Yeah, well. Okay, not, you can see I'm not a scientist. So, thank you for tuning in again. So, that's essentially where we're going to keep it, from the 5th of that month to the 13th, beginning with Passover, followed by unleavened bread for 7 days. We're going to keep each and every one of those 7 days during Passover service. During unleavened bread Passover service. It's interchangeable according to the scriptures. I was once rebuked by that and told I was a false teacher. But it's right in the scriptures. I think it's John something, where it says it's interchangeable. But anyway, we'll be looking forward to that time because we're going to travel. This is one of the three traveling feasts. So we're going to travel somewhere to be with some believers, probably on the western Oregon coast. Be with the nuns up there. No, not religious nuns, but that's their given last name. And also with Hezekiah Haas and his family. Abigail and Hezekiah and many, many others. So that should be a real good time. And also with Brother Terrell and Sister Terrell. In the Eugene area, then up to Portland, with wheelchair Ron and Melissa, and with my relatives, Robert and Christine, maybe up to Mount Hood, government camp area there, and possibly keeping some of the feasts there. Also, there's a beautiful lake in the Willamette Valley, up in the mountains, rather, out of the valley, and then we might be up there at the lake for quite a few days. Also up the McKenzie River, there's a possibility, and does it take money? Yes, it might take some money there to do this, and that is funded by the second tithe that you find there in the book of Numbers. I don't know, I think it's could be Numbers, I don't know, Numbers 13 or something, offhand. But we've got to run here and let you go, because this is now 53 minutes, and I haven't gotten to the main point about the law, talking from Numbers 15, Matthew 5, Romans 8, and Acts 21 through Acts 28. That'll be interesting. So let us know if I'm burning up your time and you'd rather just have me read mainly the scriptures. I can do a much better job just reading the scriptures, but I don't know about the comments here, if they're appropriate, if they are right on the mark or not. We read earlier Isaiah 3, Isaiah 5, Isaiah 13, and about the Messiah, Isaiah 7 and 9, chapter 9, from Yeshayahu. Shalom until part 2 of the broadcast. Shalom. Hallel Yahweh.